Good morning to one and all, and a very warm welcome from us here in Newport-on-Tater to Scotland. Welcome to those joining us on Zoom. I've already spoken to one or two indirectly, and a welcome to anybody listening on our website later. I simply wish to draw your attention to one of the intimations about next Sunday's service. We're having another of our joint services with Wirmot and Balmerino and Creeflis and Kilmeny, and this time we'll be in Balmerino Church at 10:15 in place of our service here. So there'll be no service here next week. Parking at Balmerino is a little limited, so please, if you can car share, please do so, but please do come along and support us and the other churches in our part of the cluster. And Chris is about to come forward just to give one more intimation before, as you'll realise, I'm not Amos, and Amos isn't sitting at the communion table. He is away on holiday towards Cameroon at the moment. Rev Dr. Jim Connolly is providing pastoral cover, and we're very grateful that he's providing our service this morning. So after Chris has given his announcement, we'll hand over and welcome Jim to our service.
Hello everybody, welcome this morning. I'd like to draw your attention to one of the notices in our order of service today, notice 15, drivers needed. We are still requiring one driver for our Alpha Day away on Saturday, this Saturday, either in the morning or in the evening. If you are doing the morning run, we're asking to meet here at 9:45 in the morning. I know, early start, but it's okay, it's going to be fun. And drive us down to Davidson Mains for 11 o'clock. We will contribute money towards petrol. We may even get you a Tesco meal deal. Or if you are able to drive on Saturday evening, we're asking you to meet us at Davidson Mains Parish Church in Edinburgh at 6:30, and we'll contribute money towards fuel and get you a chippy as well. So, you know, either would be great. We have enough drivers for everything else except from one person. So if you are able, can you come please speak to me after the service and we can sort that out. We currently have 13 young people signed up, but I'm expecting 16 or 15 by the end of tonight. So we really need that extra driver. So thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I give you a warm welcome. Nice to see you. Let me bring you greetings from Westgate Church of Scotland. You probably don't know what that is. Yeah, anybody know where Westgate Church of Scotland is? I can tell you it's in far-flung Dundee, and I've come over the bridge from there. Westgate Church of Scotland is an amalgam of several churches, of Lochee, of Mingus Hill, Camperdown, the former Balgay, Logie St. John's Cross, and Dundee West, where I used to be the minister. I'm now part of the ministry team there, and I'm peripatetic. In other words, I run about like a headless chicken. I've kind of given up that kind of ministry of parish ministry and convenerships of session. So I'm no longer a moderator of the session, which is wonderful. I'm getting ready to retire, and I shall be retiring come September. Some of you may know me from my ministry here in Wirmot and Balmerino and Galdrey. That was some time ago now, and I'm looking forward to retiring. In fact, I'm hoping to come over in this direction, so be warned. Okay. Anyway, it's good to be here, and I'm looking forward to worshiping with you today. I acknowledge before you that our God is great, our God is good, our God is awesome and faithful, and has promised to be with us even now as we gather in agreement in his name. Let's worship our faithful God then as we sing our first hymn, 462. Follow on the screen, I believe, or you can follow on the hymn book, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is."
Thank you.
Well, let's come before God in prayer. Let us pray together. Father God, we thank you that we gather together in your name. We bless you for your presence here among us and within us. Indeed, we thank you for that still, small voice that keeps us right. We thank you and bless you for that convicting Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit, our comforter, our counselor, our guide. Even now, Lord, we want to confess to you all that we have done that we know we shouldn't have done, all we have thought or said. Please forgive us. We wish to be holy, and we bless you that through Christ Jesus, our Lord, Father, we are made holy. We are brought within the veil. We are blessed. We are encouraged. We are comforted. And as we gather here, Lord, we pray that we'll encourage one another. And indeed, each household that we represent will know that blessing, even through our witness. We bless you for the witness of the church, wherever they are gathering. We bless you for those at home watching here online, and pray that they will know your encouragement too. We want to thank you, Father, for this opportunity of worship together as we gather in this place, part of your family, part of that kingdom witness even here on earth. And as we witness to that truth, so we do so, Lord, in saying the prayer that you've taught us to say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. It's always challenging for me these days. As I say, I'm peripatetic, I'm traveling around, and I go to different churches within Westgate, and indeed, I'm hoping to go to other churches around the area. One of the things I've noticed, though, is the Lord's Prayer seems to be changing a little bit. We've got trespasses here, which I'm a bit more used to, and we have debts, we have sins, and we have failings. And it just seems to me that everything seems to be getting a wee bit softer in some ways, you know. But the whole idea of the Lord's Prayer is the family prayer. And this is time for what I would call the family talk or the all-age talk. Now, I'm told that the children can come forward. I'm going to need an extra special helper if anybody wants to do that. I need a helper. Yeah, anybody here? Because I need a helper here to show me that they can do some special things. I've brought my wallet with me. Well, this is an act of faith that I'm going to ask you to participate in other words, to help me with. Okay, are you up for it? Yeah? Up for it? Okay. This is the first step of faith that I'm going to exercise here. I'm going to ask, has anybody here got £10 in their wallet? Wait, Philip's got £10. He took £10, I saw it. Philip, could you hold up that ten? Right, I need somebody to go and get that tenner. You want to go get it? Lovely. Now, would you bring that tenner up to me? Because if you look at my poor wallet, what's it got in it?
Nothing.
Are you sure? Absolutely
nothing.
Nothing. Turn around and tell them what's in it.
Nothing.
I'm a poor minister. So, would you like to put that in that wallet for me? No, stay there. I need your help. Okay, tenner's in. Hold my wallet. Don't run away. I'm trusting you. Right. Where's the £10?
In the wallet.
You're sure?
Yeah.
You saw it go in?
Yes.
Absolutely positive. Okay, hold it up. My wallet has now got Philip's £10 note. Would you agree?
Yes.
Did you guys see that? So if you take that wallet and give it to me, you sure it's got the £10 in it? Absolutely positive. So if I open it up, there's £10 in it. Shall we do that? Here we go. Will you take £10 out and hold it up? Wait a minute. What do you do with it? Philip?
Give it
back to him. I love this. Is that okay, Philip? You can have a seat. Are you happy with that? That was a good exchange, you must admit, for me. He's not really got it back. Philip, would you like to come up? He didn't know he was going to do this. This is why it's called a knowledge talk. So if you put nothing in my wallet.
Indeed.
Okay, agreed. Are you the treasurer?
Yeah, I am. And it is my money.
Okay, so we'll put it back in. So you would be more relieved if you got it back.
Indeed.
Okay, so you ready? Here we go.
Yes.
There we are. Go on. How did that happen? But one thing I can tell you, I'm not going to tell you how it happened. You can tell me later, okay? I just want you to know, Philip wasn't happy with the exchange, was he? Would any of you be happy with the exchange? No. He wanted to hold on to the real thing. A bit of paper is not the same as £10, is it? No, you couldn't buy any sweets with that, could you? Even if you wrote number 10 on it, it still doesn't work. It has to be the real thing. And we can say that we know the real thing as Christian people. We know Jesus is God's Son. And nobody can fake it for us because we know it's true. And I want you to remember that. No matter what anybody tries to tell you about Jesus, he's always the same. He never changes. Okay? Can we have a wee prayer? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. For he never changes. He's always faithful. Yesterday, today, and forever. Help us trust in this. There's nothing magic about it. It's faith. Help us trust. And give us faith, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you want to go back to your seats, we're going to sing, and then I think the young people are going to leave. So if you turn to hymn 598, Come Holy Ghost, Our Hearts Inspire, and we'll sing that lovely hymn together. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's me again, but the good news is there's only one reading this morning. And it comes from Colossians chapter 2, reading verses 6 to 15 on the overhead behind me or page 1183 in the Pew Bible. A section headed Freedom from Human Regulations Through Life with Christ. Colossians 2 from verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than that of Christ. For in Christ, all the families of the deity live in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. And our thanks to God for this reading from his holy word. Our next hymn, hymn 536, May the Mind of Christ My Saviour.
Glory be to God the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Well, we're coming up to the season of what we might call chocolate if we are not Christians. Yeah, chocolate. Who likes chocolate? Yeah? Oh, yeah. I've got some chocolate with me. Okay. Just a little bar of Dairy Milk. I did have many eggs, but my grandson ate it. So it kind of changed things a little bit. I'll give this to Claire. Okay. She's got special instructions. Can I trust you?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. I want you, before we go into this, to get something of the background, okay? I want you to go back in time to the beginning of the church and to Paul's ministry. Paul is ministering throughout the Roman Empire and making a bit of a name for himself. He's had his Damascus Road experience. Jews are a bit suspicious of him. Christians are a bit suspicious of him. And it seems, well, he's a bit like a Church of Scotland member. He's the meat in the middle. Yeah. Some people think, well, you can't be a Christian if you're a Church of Scotland member. And they think we're a bit strange. Well, truth be told, we are. Yeah, we are. We're a peculiar people. We're Presbyterians. We work together. We stand together. We encourage one another. Last time I read my Bible, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah? We're not independent. You might think you might be independent, but you're not. You work in the context within a presbytery, and the presbytery works within the context of the General Assembly, and the General Assembly is a witness throughout the world. So we're all connected. True. We're connected, and that's a very important principle. We are a communion, a fellowship of Bible-believing people who want to honor Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was teaching. And he did it in the most unusual of ways and in the most unusual of places. Sometimes in the open air, sometimes in synagogues, sometimes he would even do it in assemblies, in courts. In one particular occasion, he did it in a hall that he hired from a man called Tyrannus. And this hall was nothing particularly special. People would hire it for weddings. Yeah, they'd hire it for different occasions. So it wasn't unusual for Paul to hire it. What was unusual was Paul preached the gospel. And this place was called Ephesus. And there he proclaimed the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, sat in that little group of inquirers, don't know how big it would be, was a man who was called Epaphras, a young lad. And he heard this gospel message and he thought, I want that. I want that peace with God. He'd been trying to make peace with God in his own way, but it wasn't really satisfying him. He knew he was coming up short, but the gospel that Paul preached relied on the grace of God and trusting in that grace. So he put his trust in the good news of the gospel and in Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, and wonderfully got saved, we say in the Bible. He became a Christian and his life changed. It was as if a burden had lifted off him. And he decided, this is too good to keep to myself. I've got to give this message to someone else. And he decided the person he was going to give it to was his own family. That's where he started. So he went all the way home to Colossae, because that's where he came from. Colossae was a bit of a backwater in those days. In the earlier days, Colossae was a very important place. It was very important for olive oil. And in the cuisine of that nation, olive oil, as it still is to this day, is vital. But sadly, through various different calamities, and also through the economics of the day, things were changing. Ephesus was rising, Colossae was going down. And the Colossians were hoping that things would change now Little Boot was in charge. Little Boot was the new emperor. We know him better as Nero. No one knew what Nero really looked like in Colossae. They'd never seen him. They saw the coins. And Nero, who was a bit full of himself, he really fancied himself. The army thought he was a great guy. He commissioned lots of statues of himself, and he put these statues all around his empire, and he wanted his empire to grow, and he wanted people to adore this man that they thought was the savior. In fact, some thought he was divine. So these statues were there, if you like, symbols and representations of Nero. So the ordinary people would know what he looked like. But of course, the artist exaggerated. He had a six-pack, you know. It's nothing like him, okay? But they wanted to make it look good, okay? And he wanted to look good and tough. So put yourself in that time. Here was a man who was going to make everything right, these guys thought, but it wasn't happening. He couldn't bring peace in his empire. Things were getting difficult economically. In fact, they began to get so bad, even he couldn't stand it, and he set fire to Rome, so it suggested. You know the history a little bit, I'm sure. Well, against that background, Paul is talking to these Colossians who have heard the good news of the gospel through one of their own, Epaphras. Epaphras didn't go to Bible college. He didn't have a degree or a doctorate. He was a man that just loved Jesus and told the story, not just in Colossae. He went up to Laodicea. He went all round Hierapolis. He preached the good news, and lots of places started to have churches under his ministry. He was very good at what he did. But along came some people, sneaky people, who said, Epaphras never went to Bible college. He's not got a degree. He just heard this message from Paul and he reads these Bible passages, but he doesn't really know the deeper things. And we've come to tell you some of these deeper things that will help you go on. Well, Epaphras couldn't believe what was happening, and he was at his wit's end, and he runs to Paul, who's a prisoner in Rome, in chains, literally, and tells Paul what's happening. Now, a other young man from nearby had also ran to Rome, but he was a slave. He was called Onesimus, useless. That's what his name meant. What a terrible name. Imagine a parent giving a child the name useless. Anyway, they give him that name. And he got a bit fed up in the home of his owner called Philemon or Philemon, and he ran away. But things weren't as good as we thought they would be, and he eventually seeks Paul out for help because he knew Paul was a friend of his master and he knew he'd done wrong. Paul helps that young man find Christ also, and through Paul's ministry sends Epaphras and Onesimus back to Colossae with this letter that we've got in our Bible called the Letter to the Colossians. Right, that's the background. But it's important that you understand that. Otherwise, what I'm about to share with you doesn't make sense. Okay? He went back with this letter, and the letter challenges these would-be teachers that are coming in with a newfangled philosophy or understanding or adaptation of the Bible, taking it away from its authentic, true message, trying to suggest that Jesus Christ is a great example, but only an example, and that many other roads can lead to this truth. They were a mixture of Hellenists, agnostic people, and various people with different philosophies and understanding of Judaism. Maybe call them the Judaizers. This was a new sort of incoming teaching that was going to gather arms and legs and get momentum as the church began to grow. And Paul continually contends with them. Okay? But this is the beginning of it. And unfortunately, it's challenging and it's still going on today. There are people still taking the holy word of God and amending it. Don't like that bit. rip it out. And it is as violent as that. Because they're doing away with the word of God and the truth of God. And they're trying to confound and confuse people. Paul, in his letter, said, that which you have received, hold on to it. And the word he uses is receive. But it's much more than receive. I've given Claire the chocolate. Now, she's not actually holding it in case it melts, I presume. Yeah? But she's holding it. So he says, hold on to it. He says, be rooted in Christ Jesus. Now, I preached this message not so long ago, not quite the same, but not so long ago, over in Lockheed. And I went into the hall, setting some things up, and as I came out from the hall to go up to the church, I couldn't believe tumbleweed in Lockheed blew across my path. I didn't know they had tumbleweed in Lockheed. I know in the States we've got it. Tumbleweed, unlike a tree, has a very shallow root, and it's very brittle. And when the wind blows, it cracks the root, and it blows along, and it seeds itself as it hurls along. And it's a good way of reproducing itself. Unlike a tree, though, that puts down deep roots, and when the wind comes along, it's not blown about. It stays reasonably secure. And that's what Paul is saying to these Colossian Christians. Be rooted in Christ. Deep. Not like the tumbleweed blown about by every wind of doctrine. I've got the chocolate pie. Do you know, the truth be told, if we aren't rooted in Christ, we lose something. I love this message. So, excuse me eating while I speak. We have to be rooted in Christ. Not blown about by every wind of doctrine or every fancy teaching, because it's straightforward and simple. Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess. He is Lord. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. But he added something else that we always leave out. No man comes to the Father unless he comes by me. That's the truth. Jesus said it. If you've got a problem with that, take it up with him. He's the way, the truth, the udius, the way, the exodus. That's what it means. There's no other route. We have to trust him. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they got to that brink of the Red Sea and saw it, can you imagine what their thoughts were? There was a dust behind them of the Egyptian army. What are we going to do? We're stuck. You had to trust. And in trusting, the way opened and they crossed over safe. We have to trust. And as we trust, we can walk over and walk safe. Hold on. Be rooted in Christ. Next slide says something else. It says, walk by faith, not by sight. I've got three children. All three walk, I'm pleased to say. And all three learn to walk at different times. The little Baba there will no doubt walk in time. I was privileged to see my children walk. A lot of dads don't get that opportunity because you're out of work. But you see them walk round, yeah? And I can remember my little granddaughter even walking. I had my camera, my phone, and I hit the button to record her walking round, I thought, the furniture of the holiday home we were in. And at that point, she turned round and walked towards me, and I recorded the whole thing. What was the chances of that? Apparently, I learnt to walk in a very unusual way as well. I was at White Inch Park by the duck pond, sat on a blanket with my mum and dad, and I stood up and I held on to these prams, you know, the prams with the big springs, holding on to it. And I saw a swan and I decided I wanted it. So I walked to the swan. And my parents were so stunned to see me walk, they forgot I was walking to a swan. But thankfully, the swan got off its mark. known wiser. We walk by faith, not by sight. And if you want to walk by sight, well, you're going to lose. Again. You're going to lose. And the full blessing that God wants you to enjoy and experience is people say, oh no, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other. No, you don't. For 23 years of my life, I prayed, I fasted, and I thought I could help myself by helping God help me. How ridiculous. It's by grace through faith we're saved, not by ourselves. It's a gift of God. You can't save yourself. God speaks to your heart and to your mind and tells you he loves you unconditionally. Unconditionally, we have to trust him and walk by faith, not by sight. The next slide says that we have to be established in him. And if we are built up and established in him, do you know what happens? The fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest in the church. And you begin to encourage each other as the Holy Spirit grows his life and his witness in you. And the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate in the church. And do you know what happens when a church has the gifts of the Spirit in operation? It grows. Because other than that, it's trying to grow in the flesh, and the flesh will fail because we walk by faith, not by sight, not by efforts. Not that I'm saying that you don't do some things, but we have to do them in the strength of God and in the leading of God. No matter how much we try to tinker and engineer the adjustments in the kirk, without the work of the Spirit, it's going to fail. It's never going to grow. It's never going to happen. It's only as we trust in God, the Holy Spirit, to guide us and help us that we will actually be built up in the truth of God and there will be fruit. But, I love this message. If we don't do that, we're done for. We'll just get smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's what I've noticed over in Westgate. There we go. Enjoy it. We are an amalgam of tons of churches. I'm not criticizing anything, not in a bad way. When we have joint worship, the building should be heaving, but it's not. It's just the same size. In fact, if anything, it's smaller. And I've noticed that in my experience in the Church of Scotland, as churches unite, it's not double the size, it's usually halved again. Have you noticed that? We're not growing because we're tinkering, not being rooted in Christ, not walking by faith, and definitely not being built up and established in him. So this is what Paul is saying. Unless this happens, then you're in trouble. What stops it happening? Now, this is where this gets challenging, and I'm not making any apologies for it because it's God's word, and if you've got a problem with it, take it up with him. Okay? I've just come here to tell you the truth. And I hope I can encourage you. Move on to the next slide. The problem for all of us is quite simple. We fail to realize, by the way, that's meant to be me with artificial intelligence. I don't know if it's me with artificial intelligence or artificial intelligence did that, but I know that I am protected. I am protected. Because I have an enemy that I need protected from called Satan. And he always comes against me. Now, I don't mean I've got the devil with a big tail and fork and horns. You know, I don't mean that. But just the thoughts and the negativity and the challenges that he fires up and the sense of self-doubt and, well, the idea that I'm not worthy and all that keeps going in my head. But God would say, no, you are. You're my child. And I am covered by his grace and I am protected. And I have the army of God protecting me too. And you have too if you've trusted in Christ. You are protected. Not only are you protected, but you're also transformed from darkness to light. You don't think the same way when you become a Christian. My little granddaughter has just put her trust in Christ. 16, what a great age to do it. And she's noticed a difference already. And we're praying that she'll continue to grow in grace and trust in God's protection, trusting that she is established in Him, trusting that she is walking by faith, trusting that she is being built up, that the fruit of God will be manifest in her life. And indeed, she will know that protection as she changes from darkness to light, as she changes from one degree of glory to the next. We are transformed, but also we're liberated. You're set free. The chains are off. It's not you've got a license to do what you want, but you're not held in check. You're a tomorrow person living today. You are part of the kingdom of God already on earth. You are a different person, a citizen of heaven. And the people of the earth don't always recognize us. In fact, can sometimes feel threatened by us because we have a different agenda. We march to a different drumbeat. We are the Lord's. The trouble is, we listen to the lies of the devil, who would try to make out that somehow you're an imposter. We are not. Our sins have been taken, Paul says, and they are nailed to the cross. We're in Lent now. Lent so often is about looking in. Yeah, fasting, prayer, giving. These are the traditional disciplines of Lent. But you know, it can be so self-centered instead of God-centered, Christ-centered. Why can't we look out and walk by faith? Why can't we acknowledge that we are rooted in Christ? Why can't we acknowledge that we're being built up in Him? Why can't we acknowledge that He protects us, that the devil has no authority here? Because our sins are on the cross. Jesus Christ is a victor, and in Him we have triumphed. We are trophies of grace. He takes Satan and he strips him of his authority. He has no authority in your life. He's got no authority here. He is stripped of authority in your life. I'm just watching my time, but you have a new landlord. Your Holy Spirit is indwelling. God, the Holy Spirit, is counseling and guiding. And I'd love to share more, but don't have time. Satan has shown up for what he is, not the angel of light, not this multifaceted creature, but truly a usurper who tries to bamboozle us and confuse us, but with the Spirit of God guiding us in all manner of righteousness and bringing to mind the things of God as we read His word. Please read your Bible. Because it's God's love letter to you. It's God's way of encouraging you. Don't just hear it on a Sunday. Read it daily. Study it. Go to your Bible studies if you've got them still. Your house groups. I don't know what's happening here. But you need to study and fellowship together in the things of God and encouraging each other in the things of God. And as you do that, it's like iron on iron, and it sharpens your witness and brings about such a blessing in a church. A church that really worships God honors His word. Truth be told, Christ's success is your success, as He is seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for the kingdom to come in power in this place. So He is already bringing it about. How is He doing it? For you. You're God's agent for change here in Newport, Wormwood, Balmerino, Galdrey, wherever you are. You are God's agent for change through His enabling, through His empowering. So, you're protected, you're transformed, and you're liberated. What do you get for these first letters? PTL. PTL. What does that give us? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why do we praise the Lord? Because He's blessed us abundantly. How does He bless us? More than we can ever imagine, anew every day. And that's the truth of it. Because we are rooted in Him, because we are protected by Him, we are liberated All these truths that I've just shared with you should make you feel encouraged. We're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. We walk by faith and we trust in his enabling, being built up. Praise the Lord. It's a bigger blessing. There you go. Now you can keep that too. The truth be told, God gives you so much. We only seem to want one square. Imagine someone gave you just one square and kept the rest. That's what these deceivers do. They want you to walk about and limp about. Don't. God has blessed you so much. Could you get a grip of this and understand it? He has set you apart, called you by name, and he is establishing you in faith. Can you trust him to go that distance with you? Never leaving, never forsaking, but with you always. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this congregation and pray your blessing on them. I pray that they will take this word, your holy word, inspired by your Spirit through the pen of Paul, to come to us even today. This is, Lord, a challenging time to live in, but it's always been for the church. But Lord, there are many who would set up alternative gospels. There are many, Lord God, who would seek to rule and to guide and, Lord, to misdirect. Lord, they believe it's correct, but unless it's in your word, no, it's not. So please help us hold on to that truth and help us honor it and bring blessing through it to others. Help us present the authentic gospel, just like that tenor this morning. Lord, help us present the truth, not some kind of paper facsimile. For Lord, we know the real thing, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And for that, we bless you. Amen. Amen. Who would true valor see? Let's stand and sing that hymn 535. Let's give God thanks for all his blessing. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. And in testimony, Lord, we bring these gifts, tithes, and offerings, and pray your blessing upon them and upon all who give faithfully to this work. May theirs be the increase, we pray. Indeed, Lord, we pray that you will use these gifts, these talents, and these abilities that you've given to us for your glory. Today, we pray for each family that we represent. And we're mindful, Lord, of families in distress at this time, not just here, Lord, but throughout this world. And especially, Lord, where there are many conflicts, we pray for peacemakers to be raised up. Please bless these peacemakers as they seek to unite warring factions together, Lord. There are so many conflicts in the world today. But, Lord, there's so much despair and so much confusion. We pray, Father God, for the spirit of truth to be shed abroad, even as your gospel is preached. Bless the message of the gospel, however and wherever it's proclaimed. We thank you for it, Lord, and pray for your blessing upon your church as it stands up today, marching to that different drumbeat. Today we pray for any in our congregation struggling, Lord, because of ill health, because of, Lord, confusion or despair. Lord, we pray that the peace of God will guide and help them, and that your way will be made known. Father, for those experiencing change, we pray, Father, through this transition, they will see the transformation that comes about through your work of grace. Bless them, I pray. And indeed, we thank you for the witness of all the saints in this place throughout the years. And especially, Lord, we pray for Amos and his family, that your blessing will be upon them and your guidance with them and your protection even now. Thank you, Lord, for all that is happening here, for all the leaders. We pray your blessing and protection over them too. We thank you, Father, then, for this service this morning. And as we draw to a close, we pray that your name will always be blessed and always be encouraged. Lord, hear in our witness, in Jesus' name. Amen. 436, Christ triumphant, ever reigning.
Thank you.
Go then with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore.